You know, if heaven were not a real place, life on this side of eternity would be really meaningless. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again with a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, you who are kept by the power of God, through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though it be now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perisheth, though it be tried by fire, it might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom, though you now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of your souls." Why would one struggle for years on earth if all that happens when we die is to wind up like Rover dead all over? What hope is there for one who has been prosecuted here on this side of eternity if there is no heaven to offer a reward on the other side? The hope of heaven is a motivation both to be good and to do good. Heaven is a favorite subject for many people. If you go through the psalm book and start looking at the titles of the song, heaven is a prominent fixture amongst those songs and any psalm book among the Lord's people. I want to show us today why heaven is such a wonderful place. First of all, heaven is a place for the pure, for the pure. Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus in the Beatitudes said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, Peter writes concerning those that are going to wind up in heaven, those that are saved, that seeing that you purified your souls in obeying the truth. So it's in obedience to the truth that one's soul becomes purified to begin with. And the proverb writer would say in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Jesus would say of the heart, though, that murders and all the other sins come straight from the heart. They don't come from outside. On one occasion, the people were questioning Jesus about why is it that your disciples eat with unwashed hands and not according to the tradition of the elders. And he would reply and say, all the things that are wrong with man don't come from the outside. They come from the inside. So those who are pure have hearts that are pure. That is, they're pure on the inside, and there will be nothing impure or sinful in heaven. In fact, in Revelation 21 and verse 27, the Bible says there shall be by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven's a place for the pure. I don't know if you've been outside in Jacksonville lately, but one or two people out there might not be quite described as pure. You might run across some of these people. They're trying to hit people in the head and take their purses. They're trying to hit people, come up behind somebody with a weapon and ended up taking their car, carjacking they call it. But those people are not going to be a problem in heaven. You know, in heaven there are no locked doors. No reason to lock your doors. Imagine having a mansion where you didn't even have to lock your door. There's no burglar alarm in heaven. These are things you don't have to worry about because heaven is a place for the pure. Secondly, heaven is a prepared place for God's people. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? In John chapter 14, the apostles were upset because they finally began to grasp just a little bit that he was going to go on to the other side. He just told Peter that he would deny him three times before the cock crows twice. And he starts out in John 14 by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, for not so I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come to you again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What Jesus is telling us, amongst other things in those verses, is that he has gone to prepare the way to heaven. In another sense, We used to read in Matthew 25:34 that heaven is a place prepared from the foundation of the world, just as hell is a place prepared from the foundation of the world for the devil and his angels. But God has prepared a place for his people. Just imagine if God created the world as wonderful as it is in 6 days and has had thousands of years to work on heaven, just what kind of place heaven must be. You know that song we sing sometimes, we read of a place that's called Heaven's Made for the Pure and the Free, how beautiful heaven must be. Think about that in view of the fact that he made every beautiful thing on earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh, and now they are involved in building and preparing a place for God's faithful people in heaven. In Hebrews 11, God tells us that he prepared a city for his faithful people. Verse 13, beginning, said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that see such things declare plainly that they seek" what? A country. A country. "And truly, if they had not been mindful of that country which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. Now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, whereof he is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." They're looking for a city and a country. A country where you don't have to worry about what the Supreme Court's going to decide next week. You don't have to worry about what the Congress is going to legislate next week concerning whatever matter. You know, in heaven, we won't have a single debate about health care legislation. You realize that? No one will say, "Well, who's going to take care of my people when they get old?" Because in heaven is a place where we, what's that song say? Never grow old. Never grow old. What a wonderful place. Heaven is a place for God's people that has been prepared. Thirdly, heaven is a permanent place for God's people. We live in a society today that is mobile. Businesses that are going to thrive in today's economy have to understand that people are mobile more than they have been in the past. In the past, it was someone's job, idea in life to go to work for one company in one town, work there their whole life, when it's all over with, hopefully draw a pension from that company. Well, with no pensions, unless you work for the government, but that's a whole other story. With no pensions, then people move about from place to place. Heaven is a place, though, that's permanent. I'm told that in America today, the average family moves about every 5 years. Don't know how accurate that is. Maybe it's because some move every 6 months and others move every 20 years. It may average that. But I do know this. A lot of people move in and out of our lives, don't they? Christians are sojourners and pilgrims here on earth, 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Just think about the people that have been at Arlington in the past that have come and gone while you've been here. I'm not talking about the ones that came, were unfaithful 6 months later or 2 days later, but the ones that have come in, served God faithfully for a period of time, and moved on to some other place. We know not where they go. If we do know where they go, we don't know where the next stop is, because we can't keep up with them all that long. Abraham left his country, didn't he? Go to a place that his seed will receive in the future. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham never had a permanent place while he was here on earth. He was promised that he would have the promised land, but not to him, but to his seed eventually. The only thing Abraham really owned on this side of eternity, if you want to think about what he owned, was that cave of Machpelah, which he used to bury his dead, indicating what? The only time he stopped moving was when he was dead. And many of us are that way. The only time we'll ever stop moving is when we're dead. Heaven is a permanent place, and our possessions can be safe there. Jesus in Matthew 6:19-21 talked about, "Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves did not break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves instead treasures in heaven instead of on the earth." Our time there is not diminished because it is a permanent place. You know, when we live here on earth, we have to think about how long have we done this? How long have we done that? In heaven, time won't be a factor. There won't be any need for a watch. There won't be any need for a calendar. There won't be any need for a date book, a day planner, or the new fancy thing on the iPhone that tells you what to do and when to do it. You won't even be able to ask Siri what to do next. Instead, we'll be in a place where time stands still. We'll be there for eternity, and time will not matter anymore. That's a permanent place. Fourthly, heaven's a place for God's patient people. The word that's most often translated patience literally means to bear up under. With Christians, you can truly say that patience is a virtue. In fact, in the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Patience is one of the Christian virtues. John would say in Revelation 1 and verse 9, I, John, am your partner in the kingdom and in endurance or patience. Same word that we talked about just there. Patience is also sometimes translated a word that has to do with long suffering. For example, in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, if you just flip back over there a couple of pages, it says, we desire every one of you that you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. There he's talking about long suffering. In fact, Paul would write in Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be revealed with the glory that shall follow in us. Heaven is a place for God's patient people. Most of us don't really care too much for patience, though. Patience is something we want other people to have, but we don't really want it ourselves. Patience is when I've got something to do, people ought to be patient with me. About like Lucy in the old Charlie Brown cartoons. Whatever she gave for psychiatric advice was for other people, not for herself. Charlie Brown would come by and he'd drop off that 5 cents, and what she said didn't apply to herself at all. Heaven, though, is a place for patient people. We're from the microwave age in America. If we do want patience, we want it now. We don't want it next week. Fifthly, heaven is a perfect place for God's people. You know, there's no place on earth that's perfect. You think there is. Now, I will admit, I do agree with all those internet sayings that tell these Yankees that move down here, nobody ever retires and moves up north. We're better than they are, I understand that. But really, is there a perfect place? I had some friends just went out to San Diego for a wedding. They talked about how beautiful it was, how they like to live out there. I asked one of them about, what about the earthquakes? I said, what earthquakes? It's beautiful out in San Diego, but what about the earthquakes? Florida, a beautiful place. You know, Walt Disney could sell it to the world. But sadly enough, there's a whole lot of mosquitoes that will carry you off down here if you don't watch it, amongst other problems that we have. A beautiful place, no doubt about it. But no place is perfect, is all I'm saying. There'll be nothing in heaven, though, that causes unhappiness. Revelation 21, verse 4, the Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more. It's a land of no more. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. For the former things have passed away. You want to talk about a perfect place? Let's just start at the end of that list. No more pain. What a wonderful thing that would be. I don't know about y'all, but from time to time I get pains in places where I didn't think I had places. It's amazing. It's amazing. It seems as if just about the number one thing that we deal with in the ER is people in their chronic pains, as if that were some kind of emergency. But these pains that come about here on this side of eternity will be gone. Be gone. You won't have to worry about, should I get my knee replaced or wait another 5 years to see how it works out. You don't have to worry about shoulder surgery. You won't have to worry about, what should I do with my eyesight? All that will be passed away. No more pain. No more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. Never again will you go to the funeral of a friend in heaven. Of all the things that are in heaven, that's one thing you want. Now, I know some people at Arlington will say, well, what's the point of that? How are we going to fix all the food? Well, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Sixthly, how could it be perfect without all that food? Well, you'll just fix it for other occasions, I guess. Sixthly, heaven is a place promised to God's faithful people. Eternal life is a promise. There is our hope, Colossians 1 and verse 5, laid up in heaven for us. God, that promise of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, Titus 1, 2 and 3, has given us. Heaven is a promised place. And then finally, heaven is a place of peace. Heaven is a place of peace. This world is not a place of peace. The world is always filled with wars and rumors of wars. World War I, you know what they called it? The war to end all wars. Then Archie Bunker fought in WW2, the big one. Wars continued on, though. In fact, about 24 wars are fought in the world just about at any time. Strangely enough, 11 of them have Muslims in them, but that's a whole other sermon. Christ is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He reconciled us sinners to a just God. Romans 5 and verse 1. Being reconciled in one body by the cross, as Ephesians 2 talks about, he took people who were just disparate, who were at odds with one another. He took Jew and Gentile. The Jews saw the Gentiles as just completely lost and useless before God. The Gentiles thought of the Jews as just ignorant about the modern world. Yet God took Jew and Gentile and placed them together in one body. Now that does not mean that everything on this side of eternity will be peaceful if we just obey the Christ. In fact, Jesus said just the opposite. And we have experienced just the opposite from time to time, have we not? In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to send a man at variance against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be those of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." But heaven is a peaceful place with no wars and no strife. On the other side of eternity, there will be perfect peace. Only those who want to go to heaven more than anything else will be those who go, right? Amen. If you've got some other place you'd rather be, you don't have to go there. Now, somebody might drag you to church. Somebody said years ago, I saw this bulletin article about somebody that said they had a drug problem when they were a kid. They said their parents drug them to the bathtub, drug them here, drug them there, and then drug them to church with one of the drugs. They had a big drug problem. Well, nobody's going to drag us kicking and screaming to heaven. If we're there, it's going to be because we chose to be there, because God has already chosen us. We have the deciding vote. Jesus left heaven for earth so we could go be with him. And if you're going to be with him, you have to do what? Purify your souls by obeying the truth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, where we started. Heaven is a real place for people who are prepared to go there. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can do so tonight by hearing God's word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized for the remission of sins. And maybe in the past you've done that, and the world has called its siren song back to you, and you have followed along without even thinking about what you're doing. If so, return to the Lord even tonight. Come as we stand and as we sing.